Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We have a loaded program for you today as we're going to be talking about the legislation that is breaking at the Ohio State House, and that is Ohio's Heartbeat Bill. The legislation that has been moving through the Ohio legislature early in this General Assembly as it passed the Ohio Senate last month has been working its way through the Ohio House Health Committee, which it passed yesterday, and is currently on the Ohio House floor being debated before its anticipation of passage and then sent to Governor DeWine for his signature. We want to announce to you a special event of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Mark your calendars for Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton will be our annual Spring Freedom Banquet. This year we'll be focusing on the D-Day Prayer Project, as the Ohio Christian Alliance has been working with Senator Portman, Friends of the World War II Memorial, the U.S. Park Service, for the placement of the D-Day Prayer that FDR prayed with the nation on the morning of the D-Day landings. The entirety of that prayer will be added at the memorial for a tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. It cannot be paid for by tax dollars, but by private contributions, and that's what we've been doing over the last few years. This banquet will be a fundraiser for that effort. Bill Fetter, author and historian, will be with us that night. Also, there will be Congressman Bill Johnson, former State Representative Danny Bupp, who ran the resolution through the Ohio State House to support the effort. We'll have World War II reenactors and other special guests. Bob France of WHK will be our MC for the evening. You don't want to miss this event. You can register for it on our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, we're going to go to a report from Channel 10 in Columbus as the Heartbeat Bill passed committee yesterday. Let's go to that report.
Lawmakers in our state are set to vote on what's being called the Human Rights and Heartbeat Protection Act today. Right now, one of the strictest anti-abortion bills in the nation returns to the State House. 10 TV's Tino Ramos is there with new details.
It's been a long and an emotional battle, but now Ohio's Heartbeat Bill will move to the next level right here at the Ohio State House. The full House will vote on the measure later on today, this after the Senate approved its version last month. Now the full House is expected to approve the bill after some modifications and heated debate that has gone on for months. The present version would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected and prosecute doctors who perform them anyways. If passed, it would become one of the most restrictive abortion bans in the country. Of course, this comes with controversy. Democrats have expressed concern that the bill would disenfranchise poor and minority women, penalize doctors, and prompt young Ohioans to move out of the state. Again, the full House is expected to vote on it. If it is approved, it will move on to the Senate. The Senate will review the modifications and then vote. If they approve it, then it will land on the governor's desk. We'll keep you updated. At the Ohio State House, Tino Ramos, 10 TV News.
Now, remember, former Governor John Kasich vetoed similar legislation last year. This time, Governor Mike DeWine is expected to sign it. And there are a few changes to this piece of legislation since it passed the Senate last month. First, the House Health Committee voted to add additional fines to doctors who perform abortions. Next, it eliminates various legal protections for doctors who perform the procedure. And finally, it encourages the use of more sensitive medical technology, including ultrasounds, to detect a fetal heartbeat.
With us on the phone to discuss Ohio's Heartbeat Bill, SB 23, that again is being heard on the Ohio House floor, and as the report indicated, it will then go back to the Senate for concurrence vote yet, probably later this afternoon, and then on to Governor DeWine's desk. With us is Dr. David Prentice of the Lozier Institute, and also Attorney Josh Brown, who has been representing the Ohio Christian Alliance at the Ohio State House. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. Dr. Prentice, we were so thankful that you were able to connect us with Dr. Kathy Altman of the Loesser Institute, who came in and gave expert testimony in both the Senate and the House. And, of course, her own personal story, as she is an OBGYN, but she also is a former director of a Planned Parenthood clinic. And she had, in her testimony, admitted, Lee, performed abortions in the first and second trimester, but she had an epiphany of life in the womb through her own pregnancy, and now she is out on the trail across the country testifying in support of pro-life legislation. Your thoughts on the heartbeat bill here in Ohio?
Well, I think it's a great sign, Chris, that Ohioans are interested in protecting life, interested in protecting the youngest, most vulnerable lives. And this bill, there's been sort of a wave of similar legislation across the nation. Something like 22 states now have passed or are proposing the same kind of legislation. And let's face it, what this does is look at what just the common person is going to recognize as one of the most visible signs of life. Do you have a heartbeat? I mean, if you come across a person lying on the sidewalk, what's one of the first things that you're going to do to see if that person's alive? See if they have a pulse. See if they have a heartbeat. And so that's simply an indication of life. And here now, this will be taken to the womb, to that young developing human being in the womb, to see the medical evidence is that if there is a detectable heartbeat and early on in development within the womb, that this is one of the best signs that this is what is called a viable pregnancy. The idea that this little one is going to be able to make it to birth.
Well, that's right. And we have passed legislation in the state banning abortion at 20 weeks as the incremental legislation has been making its way through the courts in recent years. The heartbeat bill, of course, a heartbeat can be detected, according to expert witnesses, between 8 and 12 weeks. The way in which that is monitored is either by way of ultrasound or sonogram, but another provision was put into the bill yesterday. Attorney Josh Brown, you've looked over the language. Tell us about the new provision language when it talks about transvaginal ultrasound.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. And the provision that was in the original bill was that the fetal heartbeat, it provided that nothing in the fetal heartbeat examination rules would be construed as requiring a transvaginal ultrasound. That was the original provision. They changed it so that essentially the Department of Health would promulgate rules, and in those rules, they would create procedures that conform with, quote, standard medical practices. So that's the only change that's, you know, really important on the transvaginal ultrasound issue.
Right. Doctor, I don't know if you had a chance to, and I think you have, look at the language that it was modified in the House version. It says here, the purpose of determining the presence of a fetal heartbeat of an unborn individual based on a standard of medical practice, the rule shall require only that an examination shall be performed externally. That was the previous language. The modified language reads, the rules shall not exclude transvaginal ultrasound as a method of detection, nor exclude any other current or new technology or procedure, so long as the method, technology, or procedure conforms with standard medical practices. So it's not requiring a transvaginal ultrasound. It's not excluding it either. So it's saying whatever technology is standard practice, that's what should be the guideline for this. Your thoughts?
And I think that's a good way to put it here. It's not the matter that you're requiring this or any other particular technique. And let's face it, medical science continues to advance. These detection methods become more and more sensitive. And so it leaves it open to using the best and most modern technology. And as you mentioned, depending on the instrument that you're using, most medical practitioners now indicate that you can detect a fetal heartbeat between 8 and 12 weeks. But we do want to leave it open for new technology that might come up, because during development, your heart actually starts to beat and to pulse between 3 and 4 weeks after conception. And it'll start to regularly beat soon after that. So, you know, we do want to use the best and most modern medical techniques, and this leaves that option open.
And as our report indicated by Channel 10 in Columbus at the top of the program, is that not only was this a modification in the legislation, but also stricter penalties on the medical profession as well, so that there's no fudging or cheating in this regard. That was what some of the concerns were, as so that there is verification, so that it would indeed restrict abortion when a heartbeat is detected. Of course, as pro-life Ohioans, we're thrilled. And this has been a long and emotional battle, between 8 and 9 years at the Ohio Legislature, 2011, when it was first introduced. And the Ohio Christian Alliance has been surveying candidates on the question of if you would prohibit abortion when a heartbeat is detectable. That was in our voter guide. It was in our voter guide this last election, the gubernatorial contest between Mike DeWine and Richard Cordray. The heartbeat question was right there, front and center. Of course, candidate DeWine answered in the affirmative that he would prohibit abortion when a heartbeat was detected. His opponent did not. Thankfully, it will be Governor DeWine who will have the bill come to his desk next week, we're told, within a matter of days, and he is anticipated to sign it. Josh, but we're not there yet. There is debate on the House floor. Give us a live update. What have you heard today so far?
Sure. I went into the State House right before the bill hit the floor. And there were just very immature, loud, obnoxious activists pushing people and screaming at members throughout the State House. So it was not a good scene. But as I went to the floor, it got even more interesting. One member named Stephanie House from Cleveland, this is a Democrat who is showing how extreme the Democrat Party has gotten. She introduced an amendment to exempt black women, pregnant black women, from this bill, saying that only black women would be able to have this abortion after the heartbeat, saying it was necessary because of America's history of taking ownership of black women. So basically, it's a way to say only black babies can be killed. So I just don't understand, you know, just how insanely to the left they've gotten. The second point I want to make is just the extent to which elections matter and how this bill has really demonstrated that. In the last election, Republicans lost a lot of seats in the suburbs. I'm from Columbus, and we lost 4 major races in the suburbs. And one was in the Senate, and 3 of them were in the House. All 3 of those Democrat winners have testified on the floor or given a speech on the floor against the heartbeat bill. Allison Russo from Upper Arlington, Beth Liston from Dublin, and Mary Lightbody from Westerville. This is an indication to our folks how important elections are. And now these Democrats that have beat Republicans on moderate platforms by just 2 or 3 points are out there giving speeches in favor of pro-choice and against the heartbeat bill.
Well, and thankfully, overwhelmingly, the Ohio House and Ohio Senate are voting in favor of this legislation. And of course, we won those pro-life seats, as Governor DeWine is pro-life, and he will sign the bill into law differently than his predecessor, John Kasich, who twice vetoed the heartbeat bill to the chagrin of many in Ohio, the pro-life community that were working long and hard over the years to get to this point to have this heartbeat bill style legislation. Doctor, as you indicated, it has taken off. Ohio was one of the first states to start the heartbeat bill legislation back in 2011, but since that time, 21 other states are in some process of either they've passed the heartbeat bill or in they're in the process of considering the heartbeat bill legislation. So we really do see a struggle in our nation between the solidly left coast, Democrat states of New York and Virginia and the West Coast. But then we see other states like Mississippi and Texas and Alabama and Arkansas and Indiana and Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, moving forward to protect unborn human life. Your thoughts?
And maybe it's not a pun to talk about the heartland here, Chris. A heart for life, looking for that heartbeat in terms of protecting life. I mean, it is astonishing. Josh was mentioning the sort of extremism that you're seeing from the other side, not based on scientific fact, not based on medical need, and certainly not based on ethic, just simply based on emotion. Yesterday, there was a U.S. Senate hearing on the pain-capable bill, which Ohio has already passed, and a born-alive bill. And it was astonishing to me that even at this later time, basically the extremists that were in favor of no restriction in terms of this. So, again, it's just greatly encouraging to see Ohio push forward. Again, as you say, one of the first to bring up the heartbeat bill and now joining this growing chorus that we need to protect all human life earlier and earlier in the womb.
Well, that's right. And Doctor, you've come here to testify on pro-life legislation over the years. You're currently with the Lozier Institute, which is a fine institution that provides expert testimony both on the federal level in Congress and also in state legislatures across the land. Dr. Altman, who came and gave her compelling testimony, both a personal testimony and also a professional testimony in support of the heartbeat bill legislation, was very helpful to the committee. And of course, now the courts are beginning to weigh in on the legislation, and it's starting to work its way through the courts. How do you see that progressing? I have both Josh and you weigh in on this. So, Doctor, you've from the 30,000-foot view, because you're all over the country with this, what do you see happening in the various courts, that dockets that have already started to begin to review the heartbeat bill as legislation?
Well, just quickly, you're starting to see first some of the sort of knee-jerk reactions that, well, this doesn't fit the usual liberal interpretation of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. But I think we're looking at, again, kind of a new idea about what does viability really mean, and don't states have the right to try and protect the most vulnerable and youngest of their citizens? They do have a compelling interest. And I think we're going to see this battled probably for years, but we keep hoping and praying that, more and more citizens, more and more states, and finally, a majority of the Supreme Court will decide that, yes, we do need to protect these youngest human beings.
Josh, your thoughts on this? You weighed in on it in your testimony with that very thought, how this will be reviewed by the court. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you. So I was very proud to submit testimony on behalf of the Ohio Christian Alliance on that subject. And my anticipation is that we will lose at the lower court levels because the lower courts are bound to Supreme Court precedent. So the goal all along has been to get this in front of the United States Supreme Court and get them to modify their opinions in Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood. The authors of the bill have done a fantastic job. I think the last-minute amendments were actually very good, and you could tell by reading them and knowing the case law that they were all designed to help with the case before it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so they made a number of tweaks to just strengthen the language, made it more clear what the legislature's priorities were, also put in some legislative findings, which they can do just by putting it into the bill. These legislative findings are going to be strong evidence for Ohio as we defend the heartbeat bill. It's not going to be a big leap for the court to accept this new logic. And I put that into my testimony. It's available, actually, at the Ohio House Representatives website, go to the Health Committee, and find it on the committee website there. So I went into detail there. But essentially, we made this very strong argument that viability is a very, very bad standard, and that is the standard that they're using right now. It doesn't make sense because they don't explain why there's a distinction between life inside the womb and life outside the womb, or dependency that a child has inside the womb or the dependency they have outside the womb. It's a very conclusory logic where they say, well, because there's an independent existence outside the womb, that's why we're using the standard. But again, they don't explain what that means or where it came from or why it makes sense. The life standard, which would be looking for signs of life, makes more sense, more logical. And it's a natural progression because as the court has reviewed those decisions, they seem to be leaning more and more towards the side of the state's interest in protecting life and away from the idea that there's a right to have an abortion.
Well, and that's right. We're going to see some wins and losses in the courts as this moves forward. So yesterday was a win. Pro-life movement wins big in Kentucky as court upholds state's ultrasound law. Doctor, I don't know if you got a chance to look at that yet, but this is some of the back and forth that we're going to see pertaining to the state's interest protecting its citizens and the question of viability. So as you stated, Josh, this is this is going to be a battle for the courts. Without question, the Ohio's heartbeat bill, once signed by Governor DeWine into law, will be then challenged in court as Planned Parenthood and NARAL have promised they're going to challenge it. So the beat goes on, as they say. And so we need to continue this fight. I think we're just about done here with this segment, but I want to just give a program note. Stay with us through the break because we're going to have a pastor's panel discussion on today's heartbeat bill. As we're talking, Josh, any word yet? Is it passed yet? Are they still debating?
Let me take a look. It looks like they're still going right now. The minority leader for the Democrats is speaking. So
okay.
I anticipate it's probably going to be a couple more hours till they get it. And it's got to go to the Senate for a concurrence vote because the House made changes. But the expectation today is that it will become an act of the General Assembly today, and then it will go to the governor, and he'll probably sign it with him.
And without doubt, in a historic day here in Ohio for the pro-life movement. Dr. Prentice, thank you for all the fine work you do at the Lozier Institute. How can people find you again at the website?
The website is LozierInstitute.org, L-O-Z-I-E-R, Institute.org.
Very good. Thank you both for being on the program today. Dr. Prentice of the Lozier Institute, Josh Brown, attorney representing the Ohio Christian Alliance and working in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you both for weighing in on this historic day in Ohio as the heartbeat bill is about to pass the Ohio House. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. And stay with us through the break as we're going to have a panel of pastors weigh in and we'll discuss the pro-life movement, the heartbeat bill, and more as this battle for life continues in our nation. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Roundtable.
When?
Roundtable.
When?
Roundtable.
When?
Be part of the discussion. Roundtable with George Sitari every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 1220 The Word. The roundtable discussion of today's hot issues covering federal, state, and local with George Sitari. Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. WHKWradio.com, 1220 The Word. Get your seat at George's Roundtable now.
And we're back, and we're going to continue our discussion on Ohio's heartbeat bill. The legislation actually has a new name, the Human Rights and Heartbeat Protection Act. As it passed the Ohio House Committee yesterday, is on the Ohio House floor as we speak, and then once it passes there, we'll go to the Senate for concurrence. And then it is anticipated that Governor DeWine will sign it into law next week. Ohio will be one of 22 states that are moving forward with the heartbeat bill. Here's a note for you. We want to invite you to our Spring Freedom Banquet, which is Friday, May 10th. Mark your calendars for that. That will be at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, the Ohio Christian Alliance Spring Freedom Banquet. This year, we are focusing on the D-Day Prayer Project, the final phase for placement of the prayer of D-Day at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. As you know, this is the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. There are World War II veterans that are still with us. This prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans that served us in World War II, and it will be placed on the Mall in Washington at the World War II Memorial. June 6th, we'll have an observance there at the memorial and probably announcement of our progress with the addition of the D-Day prayer. And of course, my wife and I just came back from Europe as we were at the American cemeteries outside of Paris and also in Normandy. And we'll have some more information for you about that on our website at the Christian Alliance of America and Ohio Christian Alliance. Our speakers that night, our MC, will be Bob France, radio personality here on the Salem stations of Cleveland, Bill Fetter, author and historian, Congressman Bill Johnson, former state representative, current judge in Adams County, that's Danny Bupp, will be with us. He'll be in uniform as he is retired Marine colonel. We'll also have World War II reenactors and other special guests. Come out and join us. You need to register for the dinner, and that's at our website at ohioca.org, and we hope that you'll be with us on Friday, May 10th. With me on the phone is a group of pastors, as from time to time we have on this program a roundtable, and we need to hear from the clergy pertaining to the issues of our day. And right now we're seeing a spiritual battle and conflict over life in the womb. It is a death in life struggle, ladies and gentlemen, as we see what happened in the state of New York. The legislature there last year legalizing abortion through the ninth month and beyond. And we're hearing in Virginia about discussion of infanticide, what to do with a child that's unwanted after it's born. This is unbelievable that we're hearing this in our day and age. But if we as Christians of God's people that have the spirit of life in us don't speak up, shame on us. But we're going to speak up. We have voices and we're going to herald them for life. With me on the phone is Pastor Mark Abel. He is from Ashland, Ohio. We have Pastor Gary Click, who is with us as well, and Pastor John Coates, who also served on Ohio Right to Life's board. He was the executive director from 2011 to through 2012. He is also currently the pastor of Metropolitan Church of God in Christ and president of Interdenominational Ministries Alliance of Columbus and Vicinity. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Well, thank you, man. Of course, this is this is a big day. This is historic. What's happening in Columbus? We just got a report from our attorney who's there at the state house, and he said it was a You know, the legislators had to walk through a gauntlet of protesters. We anticipated that. Those who support Planned Parenthood and NARAL, these folks come and they try to jeer pro-life legislators. It's not an easy go, but these men and women, thank God, they're determined. They know they're representing their constituents. Elections mean something. Pastor Gary, you were all over the state encouraging pastors to engage last election and vote pro-life, vote your Bible, vote your religious conscience as Christians. Your thoughts on today?
Absolutely, Chris. This is a historic moment. As we talk right now, I'm watching the Ohio channel. I can't listen because I'm here on the radio with you, but I'm just watching this. And boy, my heart is thrilled. I wish I could be there in person to walk right through those protesters with them because, you know, we are defined by those who oppose us sometimes. And that culture of death is just disgusting. And it breaks my heart that people would even think that it is even reasonable or rational to take the life of an innocent child, a child that feels pain, a child created in the image of God. I was listening to Representative Ginter just a few moments ago, and he just went right through the scriptures, Jeremiah 1:5, I ordained thee a prophet, you know, before I formed these. Why would he ordain a fetus as a prophet if it's not a person? Went through Psalm 139, I've numbered your parts. Why would he number the parts of a fetus that is not a person? A Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. How can a fetus be filled with the Holy Ghost if it is not a person? And I love that bold proclamation of scriptures right on the floor. And you got it right, Chris. I was campaigning out there for Mike DeWine because Mike DeWine has a heart for children, a heart for people. And he promised from the very beginning, he said, I will sign the heartbeat bill. And if there's no other reason, that's the reason for me.
Well, that's right. And, you know, elections matter. And so, you know, the Ohio Christian Alliance, we surveyed the candidates on the heartbeat bill question going back 8 years now. Once it was first introduced in 2011, we put it in our survey to the candidates. Would you prohibit an abortion when a heartbeat is detectable? And Mike DeWine indicated in the affirmative. His opponent, Richard Cordray, in the negative. It was on the front page of the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide that we distribute to thousands of churches and congregants all across the state of Ohio so people can have an informed decision. These are the answers that the candidates gave themselves. This is their position. And so Ohioans resoundingly voted for Mike DeWine. He's had a long, illustrious career of being pro-life. I had no question that he would support this legislation when his predecessor, a Republican, John Kasich, vetoed the bill twice to the chagrin of many. Yeah. Pastor Mark Abel, your thoughts on today?
Well, I think you said it earlier. It's a surprise to me that in 2019, we still have this debate over life.
Right.
We look at the culture and we wonder why we have the problems that we have, the crime rates, the different things. And it's because we teach that first we come from an amoeba and second that we don't matter, that life doesn't matter. If we would teach that there's a all-powerful, all-knowing God that we're accountable to, who died for us, who loved us, I think that would probably do more than any bill or anything we could pass to protect life. But I found it interesting in today's paper. Up here, Representative Jeanine Boyd, the Democrat from Cleveland Heights.
Yes.
She sent a letter to Marin last week pleading for the testimony, and she says this, quote, think of the irony of this comment. It's just absurd. She says, we need to hear from those whose voices have not yet been part of this debate. Well, you know what? I agree. Let's listen to the little babies, and let's see what they have to say if they're pro-choice or pro-death. You know, I mean, I can't even believe that a person would be so unable to understand the irony of her own words demonstrating the ignorance behind that stance. It is amazing to me.
Well, that's right. And actually, she made an emotion for an amendment to the legislation yesterday. Pastor John Coates, that had to be disturbing to you to see that that measure that she was. She's an African American representative, and she was adding an amendment that would exclude African American women from this legislation. That means that that black children would be aborted. I don't understand that. Your thoughts?
It was disturbing. It's disturbing. I'm at the State House now. I just stepped out of the gallery, and it's been disturbing to hear the attempt after attempt after attempt to amend the heartbeat bill with foolish amendments, including the one that was just referenced. But I have to be reminded of history. You know, the African-American community has been targeted for a long time.
Yes.
Margaret Sanger, the eugenicist, her Negro project was real. It's not fiction. This really happened, and it's really happening. African-American pastors, leadership, the community has been targeted by pro-eugenicists for decade after decade after decade. So we see a foolish argument made again in an attempt to prolong the process and to delay this historic vote from taking place.
And it's not a partisan measure. You know, actually, I've heard liberal Democrats decry the fact and saying, why are these Planned Parenthood clinics in black neighborhoods? Why do they set up shop there? And to eliminate the future of the next black generation? This is liberals talking. So, you know, we welcome it as pro-life Christians. We're saying, hey, come on board. We may not agree with everything in policy, but hey, we agree on life issue and it comes first. Your thoughts, Pastor?
Absolutely. And I felt that was the argument that should have been made because of the history of abuse, because of the history of discrimination, because of the horrible things that African Americans have suffered as in our sojourn in America. Then to suggest that the number one killing method of black people should continue. Black women represent 8% of the population of the state of Ohio, but still have nearly 38% of the abortions. And I believe that is because of targeting, because of target marketing, because of target location planning of where these clinics are located at. They're walking distance for every urban area in our state. And it's the same thing reflected throughout America. That is the argument that needs to be made. That's what we're fighting against. Abortion decreased in every area in our state, with the exception of the black community. And being engaged in the pro-life movement directly, and then witnessing those numbers myself, it was amazing to watch it decrease in different communities, but watch those numbers maintain or increase in urban areas. And the highest area in the state of Ohio is within Cuyahoga County.
Well, these people they're ignorant to the fact of what is actually going on here. And, you know, I was pleased that we were able to present proponent testimony actually on a day that was all testimony, but actually most of the those who came in to testify were opponents that day. So rather than preaching to the choir, I'm glad that our expert witness, Dr. Kathy Altman, and our attorney, Josh Brown, were presenting in a room full of opponents waiting to testify, and the chairman gave us opportunity to go first, so they all were listening to Dr. Altman, who herself, as an OBGYN from Florida and a former director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and also an abortionist. She actually performed abortion in the first and second trimester, and you could hear a pin drop when she was testifying. And she
said, "Absolutely, I was present. I was present during that testimony. Those both of those powerful testimonies, and you know, and I think it should be said. And I thank you, Chris. I thank the Ohio Christian Alliance for being leaders in this movement and providing expert testimony along those lines. It was very effective and very powerful.
And she testified in that, you know, it wasn't until her own child was born, and she had also had an abortion herself earlier on. And then when her child was born, then she realized it went from being a fetus to a baby, and she could no longer agree with or do abortions, even though she agreed with a woman's right to choose. But then she changed from that point as well, and she said, well, you know, it was not my position to kill the child. And so strong words, but true words, and the committee was moved by that. But, you know, it's a, you know, their eyes are darkened. And it's a spiritual warfare. And that's why I had you gentlemen join me today, because we pray for our nation. We watch this debate back and forth. And we're seeing some of that down there at the State House today, you know, some shouting going on and some disruption. Josh Brown, our attorney, was relating to us what he had seen today and jeering at the legislators. And, you know, that's just really, it's unacceptable. It's not the way democracy or our republic should be practicing. Pastor, you've been down there today. You saw some of that as well, Pastor John?
I walked through that crowd, yes, and they're cheering. Many of them are certainly disrespectful to the reverence of the building and what is actually occurring here. But there's a movement that's taking place in this country, and it's a movement where people are taking evil and now calling it good. It's that type of thing that's happening, and it's unfortunate and it's sad. To see the National Day of Prayer is approaching, and not that we should only pray on that day. We should pray every day.
Yes,
because prayer is needed. But one thing that I really like about the pattern of prayer and the National Day of Prayer is that it begins with repentance. With repentance, and as a nation, we need to repent. We need to repent and then go forth and praying that God would forgive us of our sins, and that we'd go on to bless our nation. But this abortion issue is a horrible scourge on the face of this nation.
You know, as we see the radical left and the pro-aborts and really the death movement, I have to say the culture of death, pushing further in states like New York and Virginia and on the West Coast in Washington State and Oregon, considering basically euthanasia of Alzheimer's patients, of all things. Unbelievable. We're seeing young people beginning to wake up, and we're seeing it in the movie theaters with this movie, Unplanned. The live testimony of Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood director, clinic director. It's her story, and it's breaking records at the. It's doing very well at the movies. Pastor Click, your thoughts on that?
Well, I have not been able to see that movie yet. I want to get out to see it, and I've heard a lot of great things about it. And I think Pastor Coates really hit on a great theme there. I think one of the things that we must remember is that this battle takes place on many fronts. And today we are challenging it on the legal front, on the legislative front, and that is very, very necessary. But beyond that, there's this new phrase that's being used out by the millennials. It's called woke. You know, it's a form of being awakened. And I think there is an awakening among a lot of young people. They are now calling themselves the pro-life generation. And even once we change the law, and I'm grateful that we're doing that, we need to remember that we still have to touch people's hearts. There are a lot of ladies out there who have been in those circumstances, who have had those abortions, who are hurting and who are suffering, and we need to carry the message of hope, grace, forgiveness, and God's love to them. And we need to reach the hearts of more young people, letting them see that this is a life and that it is not just legally wrong once it's passed, but it's still morally wrong and an affront to God, and help people to make right and wise decisions. One of the things that stunned me several years ago when I began studying a little more in depth is that 64% of women who had an abortion say that they felt coerced into the abortion. So this is really, the pro-life movement is actually a women's rights movement. Usually these young ladies feel pressure from their boyfriends, sometimes from a husband, but sometimes from an assailant as well. And I've even heard some stories from some ladies who work in some of these crisis pregnancy centers where parents, even Christian parents, have taken their daughters to have an abortion because they were afraid of shame. And boy, that just breaks my heart. What we have to reach the hearts. The battle's not over once we win this victory. There's still going to be a battle for the hearts and souls. And I'm just reminded what Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need to get the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to the young people in our community today.
Amen, Pastor. I want you all to hang there for a minute. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back on the other side. If you have a scripture verse you want to share with us with some closing thoughts, we're going to do that. We're talking to our pastor's panel. We'll be right back as we're discussing the heartbeat bill. And we did just get word that it has passed the Ohio House. It's going to the Ohio Senate for concurrence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back, and we're talking about the Ohio Heartbeat Bill, Senate Bill 23, which is now known as the Human Rights and Heartbeat Protection Act. I like that title. They amended that yesterday. It just passed the Ohio House. It's going over the Ohio Senate for concurrence on its changes and then on to Governor DeWine's desk. This is a momentous day in Ohio, and it is a wonderful pro-life step for Ohio, which has passed a lot of pro-life legislation over the years. And we do pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for those whose hearts are still darkened when it comes to life in the womb. With us on our pastor's panel this afternoon is Pastor Mark Abel, Pastor Gary Click, and Pastor John Coates. Gentlemen, let's go to Pastor Abel. Your thoughts. You got a scripture verse to share with us, Pastor, what you're thinking about, how we should pray?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about Romans 1, where we talk about Paul writes about the depraved mind. And this is, I think, what we're seeing in our world. We talk about the protesters and things, and you have to think about verse 31, where it talks about, you know, how they're depraved, and not only those that do these things, but also those that, you know, give hearty approval to those who practice them. And if there ever was a verse that would say that we are responsible for how we vote, that's definitely it. And we look at this world, we see how depraved it is, and we see, I struggle with wondering why they want to think that way in light of the obvious truth of the heartbeat. Even atheists, like the famous Christopher Hitchens, who was one of the new atheists who didn't believe in God, he has a quote that says, in order to terminate a pregnancy, you have to still a heartbeat to switch off a developing brain. And it makes no sense logically, morally, and especially for us spiritually to allow this to continue. So praise God in heaven that we've taken this step so far today. But, don't be surprised. The evil one is at work. We have fallen sinful human natures, and that depraved mind is still alive and well.
Amen. Pastor John, what are you thinking? Pastor John.
Well, first of all, I'm grateful for everything that everyone has offered today. As the men of God that's standing in the gap in this most critical time, I simply believe from a scriptural standpoint that we should continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help.
Amen.
Our help comes from the Lord. It comes from God. From above, we have so many issues, so many things to concentrate on, so much to do, and we cannot do any of it without the help of God. And thank you, Pastor Gary, for reminding us that we are concerned about the women in our society,
yes,
women in our community, that many of which are suffering because of other ills of our society. And we are about healing, not killing.
Yeah.
So may God continue to guide and be a lamp unto the feet of all the men of God and the women of God throughout our state, throughout this nation, as we continue to do the work that God called us to do.
Well, that's right. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we need to be able to speak confidently into a darkened world right now and people that are just lost, who do not have an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have an understanding of spiritual things, and they are gravitating towards the prince of this world, which is the prince of darkness. And that's what we're seeing demonstrated at the Ohio State House. How could anybody advocate for the killing of innocent life in the womb except they be spiritually indiscerned? They cannot understand what exactly they're doing. They're in darkness. And so, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds should be reproved. We need to pray for these people that their eyes be open and that the pulpits actually start coming awake. And, gentlemen, we're going to have you back because I believe there's an awakening in God's house right now. We've been visiting some churches, and I tell you, it's just been different ones right now. And younger pastors, I'm telling you, they are preaching beyond their experience. The only way that can be happening is if the Holy Ghost is actually starting to give them unction and bringing the Word of God to life. Isn't that so?
Yes.
God bless Amen.
You. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, pastors, thank you. Pastor Mark Abel, thank you for joining us. Pastor Gary Click, Pastor John Coates, a joy to have all you men on today and to hear your wisdom and your thoughts today. Brethren, we're just going to be in prayer. As Pastor John, you said, we just need to be praying as a nation. We need to be praying as a church, and that God send His holy fire down in an awakening in our land. That's what we need. Thank you all for joining us today. God bless you, men.
And thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, if you missed any of our program today, you can catch it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. And we come to you each week at this time. Thanks for listening, and tell a friend. God bless you. Thank you all.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.